Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
O'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes. We're gonna rock.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Sitting here in my studio in San Francisco, watching a Costco freighter coming in. Bay is gorgeous. Live. Sun is out. After a rain, it doesn't get any better. Come on, Bill. Bill Haley in the comments. Rock around the clock. It is Open Mic to Mike Friday, 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. Romney's religion. Bernie's proclivities. Rudy's bodyguards. Hillary's evasions. Obama's Muslim connections. All right, we got it. I just want to hear more, a little more, then I'll be ready to talk. I got to, you know, spiel in a while. 3 hours of spieling, I get a little music. I want to hear the guys in the blue suede shoes. I want to hear the pants, the peg pants guys. The sons of those who saved us in World War II.
When the clock strikes 12, we'll cool off.
What a different world it was. How we've degenerated into such a sick, degenerate, freakazoid universe run by the left-wing vermin in the media. How are there so many of them? Where did these vermin come from? How many viruses can metastasize? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I invite callers on any topic, 1-800-449-8255. And the topics of the week are interesting. Romney's religion became a topic. A local talk show host, a left-wing big mouth named Bernie Horde, the lion of the left, L-Y-I-N of the left, indicted on kiddie porn. And here's the interesting thing about this. He is a guy who for years has attacked family values, attacked the Catholic Church, attacked the war, attacked the police, attacked the military. You cannot find the story, except in the local newspaper, buried. Why is it not on Inside Radio? Why is it that Inside Radio covered my problems, which are nothing compared to a guy in the radio business indicted on kiddie porn? How come you can't find it in the New York Times, the LA Times? This is a major league story. When a Republican got caught with a wide stance in a toilet, they didn't stop talking about it. They still haven't stopped talking about it. But when a left-wing, whack-jaw, big-mouth, fraudulent don't get me started on this one, is indicted now, not accused, indicted, grand jury, indicted for downloading kiddie porn and transferring it to another person by his own lawyer's admission. Why is it not a story? We can talk about these topics and more right here on the Savage Nation. Why are they not talking about it? I wonder why. There are many other stories. But I want to read you something about the left-wing big mouth here in the Bay Area, Bernie Horde, the lion of the left, L-Y-I-N, indicted on kiddie porn. And these were not written by me. These were written by a blogger who looked at the facts as reported. He is a former Catholic priest. He got on the internet and downloaded and sent out images of child pornography. You got to read the whole story. I'm not going to bother, okay? Now, here's something that a blogger wrote. Three statements made by Ward's lawyer. Weinberg says Ward acquired several images of child porn from websites and, quote, he exchanged them with adults who do the same thing, close quote. Weinberg says Ward has not accessed child porn in the 3 years since the FBI raid, that the federal case is based only on what happened in 2004, close quote. Weinberg says Ward has spent the last several years trying to convince the federal government that the research, quote, was not being done to exploit children, close quote. These three statements by Ward's lawyer have convinced me he is guilty, wrote a listener. Now, I've never seen a lawyer as bad as this in my life. Never in my life have I seen anything like this. I mean, if you get a lawyer like this, the case is over before you begin. What is this guy, stupid? You know, I've said to you yesterday when this came out, there's an old adage that only a fool would be his own doctor. Well, a bigger fool would hire a bad lawyer. Now, let me ask you something. His lawyer, Weinberg, says that this left-wing big mouth has not accessed child porn in the 3 years since the FBI raid, that the federal case is based only on what happened in 04. Isn't that an admission of guilt? So in other words, if a man murdered somebody in 2004, but he hasn't murdered anyone since 2004, we should forgive him? Or if a man set off a bomb in a shopping mall in 2003, but he hasn't set off any bombs in shopping malls since 2003, I guess the lawyer could say he's not set off any bombs in the 3 years since the FBI caught him setting off a bomb in 2003. What kind of statement is this? This is unbelievable. And then the topper is the lawyer says he spent the last several years with several lawyers trying to convince the federal government that the research was not being done to exploit children. But he spent 3 years with several lawyers and he couldn't convince the government. Well, okay, so what does that tell you? So here are some other stories. And by the way, it is Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. Oh, there's so many other stories. Are you kidding? Save Savage's show. Radio star Michael Savage sues Islamic group. Is it a book of hate? Islamists target Michael Savage. Fiddling while it burns. Michael Savage versus CARE and the corporate America's blind eye. CARE called turnstile for terrorist suspects. Savage fights back. Sues CARE, who was behind advertiser boycott. Lawsuit is updated. Download it. Read it. If you like what you read and you think free speech is at stake and I'm important, you submit a donation to the Legal Defense Fund, care of PayPal, right on my website. We'll keep going. CARE's, this came out today in WorldNet Daily. CARE's Islamist quizzers featured at Prez debates. They're sending in plants to ask questions at debates about Islamofascism. Survivors gathered to remember the attack on Pearl Harbor. Update, police investigating Baltimore bus beating as possible racially motivated hate crime. A pack of kids beat up a white girl. Take a look at her face. You could cry for her. They were all not white. But the police wouldn't call it a hate crime. Sickening. Here's some good news. Homosexual hate crime bill starved the votes in the House. I guess they couldn't run the juggernaut through the House. Would-be burglars shot by Houston man were illegal aliens. Really? I thought they all came here to work. Does Wikipedia promote Nazism? A left-wing German politician, you see, has filed charges against online encyclopedia Wikipedia for promoting the use of banned Nazi. You read on. Now, Wikipedia, as you well know, is quite wicked when it comes to men like me, but quite nice when it comes to those who like kiddie porn. And for those of you who think that I'm not what I am and what I am what I'm not, the Iranians just hung a gay child, calling him a criminal. The funeral of the hanged gay youth drew 6,000 people. And you gay people better wake up before it's too late. You attack men like me when your real enemy is in Iran. But no, you'd rather attack people like Michael Savage. You know why? Because liberalism is a mental disorder. Those are some of the topics. And apparently Hillary's stunt about Iran not having weapons has failed. Rasmussen reports says that 66% believe that the latest lie on the national intelligence is wrong and Iran still has weapons program. Just 18% of American voters believe that Iran has halted its nuclear weapons program. So despite this gigantic propaganda stunt by Hillary, the DNC, and shamefully this idiot named Fingar in the State Department, we did not buy the garbage. Here's another horrible story. Pentagon unable to account for $5.2 billion in weapons and equipment given to Iraqi forces. Can you believe this? Senator Boxer, is she a madwoman? Votes in a global warming bill during a heavy snowstorm, then jets off to Bali, not in an airplane fueled by banana skins, mind you, but by jet fuel, AAA aviation fuel. Why did the major wire services, why did Inside Radio, why did other industry sources avoid the Bernie Ward kiddie porn story? Why have they ganged up on me and let this one go? I think you can answer the question when you ask the question. 1-800-449-8255. Now let's go to President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's address to Congress, December 8th, 1941, after Pearl Harbor was attacked by the Japanese Imperial Navy. Go ahead.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
Now, if we had a president who was as literate and as articulate and as impassioned as this president on September 12, 2001, I don't think we'd be in the state we're in today. But because we have something other than an FDR in the White House, most of us don't know which way to turn and which way is up. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You, but it's a nice day for me. One of those days I can listen to the music quiet, I can do the news, I'll do it all. Wah, 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 wah. I am sitting here. Thank you. You can turn it off. You know, it was miserable all week out here in the Bay Area, and all the rules I've broken in radio have all worked for me. You're not supposed to identify where you are, what the weather is, what the time is. Why not? I live in real time. It's like I'm be here now time, you know. So if I want to tell you something. So rain, it was gloomy all week. The days in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area after the rain are just like you can't describe them. You want to reach out and touch the sky, you know. So the ships are coming in. The ferries are going out. Alcatraz is lit out on the bay. You can see Angel Island. Gorgeous, gorgeous day. And, you know, you could look at it and see the things that are inside that picture, like the big ships coming in, the freighters from China. They're laden 4 or 5 stories above the decks with garbage from China. And do you know that we shipped them nothing? We shipped them nothing, but I was told that we shipped them scrap metal, which I think we've run out of. They've drained us of our scrap metal like the Japanese did in the 30s. We shipped them the Third Avenue L, and they came back in the form of bombs and bullets into our men's bodies. I'm not saying it's going to be the same thing. It'll be worse. So the ships are coming in laden 5 stories high on the Costco freighters, and they go out filled with dead ballast. We're shipping them nothing. It's frightening to think that we become like this as a nation. We don't produce anything anymore. So let's go to the callers. KNEW, San Francisco. Mark, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey,
go ahead,
Michael.
Please.
Hey, Michael, I was calling about the Bernie Schwartz. I kind of, you know, it doesn't make sense to me that the feds would have...
Did you say Bernie Schwartz, the Loral Space and Technology?
No, whatever that guy is that
Oh, Bernie Horde, yes.
All right, yeah. You know, it doesn't seem, it doesn't make sense to me that they would wait 3 years to arrest this guy and give him all that time to explain himself. Usually they would charge you, and then you'd go in front of court to explain your side. I've never seen a case where somebody would volunteer for 3 years information when they haven't been charged with anything. What I personally think is this guy...
Well, wait, hold on. Let's not start speculating. His lawyer said that we've spent 3 years. Weinberg is the lawyer, says Ward has spent the last several years, that's the kiddie porn guy who's been accused of downloading kiddie porn, the big left winger here, has spent the last several years trying to convince the federal government the research, quote, was not being done to exploit children. That means his lawyers have held off this indictment for 3 years, Mark. That's what it means. The government was probably ready to indict a long time ago. But with enough money, you could probably fend off an indictment for a couple of years. That's what we've learned through this, I would guess. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, that's my take on it. WOR New York City on the Romney religion issue. John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. John, go ahead, please. Gone. Bing. Houston, Texas, Rocky, on the Romney question. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, it's an honor to speak with you. I really respect your intellect. I'll get right to the point.
That's nice of you to say. Believe me, it's nice. I appreciate it. Believe me, I can use all the help I can get. So what's on your mind?
Well, Mike, the reason that evangelicals will not vote for a Mormon, Mike, is because the Mormon faith, along with a lot of other faiths, by the way, is predicated on works, all right? In other words, their righteousness is through their works. And true evangelicals believe that man's righteousness is, you know, and I'll just be frank, and it, what the scripture says about man's righteousness is but a miserable rag in the eyes of the Lord. And that's where evangelicals come from. And by the way,
please explain that again. You mean to an evangelical Christian, a Mormon is not a Christian?
A Mormon is, to an evangelical Christian, any religion that predicates its righteousness on works does not.
What do you mean by what do you mean by works? I don't quite understand that, Rocky.
Okay, what I mean by works, Mike, is if you're good enough or if you do enough good things, sort of like the Muslim religion. If you do good enough.
All right, so you do enough good thing, you go to heaven. That's not Christian?
Pardon me?
That's not a Christian concept?
No, when you do good works, that's the fruits.
This is too much for me. I'm getting a migraine. Play rock and roll. My right eye went out from that. Rocky, I know you mean well. If I have to get involved with who's better than who based on what they believe in, I'm going to wind up like blind here on the show. Play some rock and roll. Play rock and roll. That's all. Please. I got to sit in judgment of the next man? How he views God in heaven? Why? As long as he's a peace-loving man, I love the guy, okay? I don't care if he's a Muslim, an agnostic, an atheist, a Buddhist, a Hindu. I don't care if he comes from Abraham, Isaac, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, or Krishna. It's a matter of how the man acts to me. Not to me, but to me. That's what I care about, is how he acts on earth. Who cares about heaven? That's up between you and God. Up next, an attorney on the kiddie porn issue. You learned something.
Savage.
We have many topics. Romney's religion, which really shouldn't be a topic, I mean, any more than Mr. Henry Reid, Senator Harry Reid's religion, which is the same. No one ever made it an issue with him. I mean, you may love Harry Reid's politics, or you may not love them. But his religion is his business. Shouldn't that be the same for Romney? I can't take this anymore. To me, religion is a personal thing. Hillary's evasions. Obama's Muslim connections are very interesting. His father and grandfather were Muslim. Shouldn't that be an issue? Why does he get a pass? Why does a local talk show host who's a left-wing, rabid left-winger, indicted on kiddie porn charges, get a pass in the media? While anything about Michael Savage, they turn into something it isn't. So we know about the bias of the media. Right now we have an attorney on who's an expert on this issue of cyber security and the government. Joanne Kingston, an attorney from Oakland, California, is here to answer my questions and possibly your own. Ms. Kingston, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Well, here's the question. We have the big case of the talk show host Bernie Ward. He's accused of downloading kiddie porn, and according to his attorney, sharing it or transferring it to someone. And they say he only did it for a book project he was working on. What's the chance of him arguing that successfully, first of all?
Well, I think as his attorney points out, under the letter of the law, to argue that successfully is very difficult because the idea of downloading, even if you don't keep it on your hard drive, if you distribute to other people on a chat line, is, under the statute, illegal.
Let me see if I understand this. Why would a man allegedly download child pornography, and then who do they distribute it to? Who does it go to?
Well, that's an interesting question. There are many search engines right now that try to access that information and the URL so that they can legitimately advertise on those same URLs. I think that the more important question is to try to figure out, I mean, the internet has unfortunately provided pedophiles with relative anonymity. The prosecution's priorities ought to be given to evidence of involvement of known organized crime figures or large or small distributors and users who trade and share and post in images in cyberspace. So in terms of Mr. Ward's participation in that, I think that from a public policy point of view and a free speech point of view, you have to look at the bigger picture.
Well, wait, but I can't judge him, and I don't know whether he did this or not. But the law says you can't download more than how many illicit images?
Three?
Yes. And let's say a man goes on to a legal porno website, and mixed in with those thousands of images are illicit images of children. How does that work? What happens there?
Well, it's an interesting question because many times they're trying to entice you into looking at images of people that they are pretending are under 18 when they're over 18. A lot of it is false advertising. A lot of it is a very, very gray area. I think that what we don't know in this case is what kinds of images we're talking about. Are we talking about prepubescence? Are we talking about are we talking about babies? Or are we talking about 14 to 17-year-olds or possibly people 18 that they're trying to dress up to look like they're under 18 years old?
I hear you. That's absolutely true. But don't most of these so-called legitimate porn sites say that all models are 18 years or older?
Yes, they have to say that exactly. Exactly.
All right, so an individual goes on the site, and believe me, you and I both know, pornographic websites are amongst the most popular in the world. Isn't that true?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So it's not a subculture of a few people. This is a wide, worldwide situation. All right. So a man, as I say, goes on a regular porn site. He thinks everyone's over 18. And inadvertently, can they download kiddie porn into his computer?
Absolutely.
They can.
Absolutely. They can because there are thumbnails. And you might pick up a site where on a URL you've got 100, 200 thumbnails. And so then you just hit click and you download. And so it is possible to do that. Whether or not somebody knowingly could open one and not know if they're looking at something when it's a three-year-old, of course they're going to know.
No. That would be an obvious. But let's take the marginal cases. The guy accidentally does it, and he doesn't know they're 15 or 14 or 16 or whatever. Now, according to this case, he went online, this individual, this talk show host, and he shared it with someone in a chat. What is that all about?
Well, chat rooms are the sophisticated user, and it sounds to me like Mr. Ward was not a sophisticated user. The sophisticated users use something called the Usenet. The Usenet allows you to basically fly under the government's radar so that you can't be found or figure out from where you're communicating or distributing information. It sounds like Ward was flying above the radar, and therefore the government was able to track his movements to see where he was distributing. The real question would be what he was distributing, how many he was distributing, and then another question I've got is apparently when they seized his computer, it doesn't seem to indicate that there was anything on his hard drive, so that what they're basing this on is a distribution of material that was on a temporary internet file.
Hold on, let me slow down. I'm not a computer expert, and I don't think many of my listeners are. So according to the indictment, but we've only read what's in the newspaper here, but it's a shocking story because of his left-wing politics and his family orientation. And admittedly, I don't like his politics, but I hope that he's innocent, truthfully, for his children's sake, not for him so much. I think it's a terrible thing. But what do you mean by it wasn't on his hard drive? So what did he allegedly do?
all I can glean from reading the articles, and I'm ignorant as you are beyond that, is that he downloaded images and that these images were distributed among others in a chat room. But I've also read in another article that when they seized his computer and they looked at his computer hard drive, that these images were no longer on the hard drive. That would seem to say that what they were tracking at the time, it is possible for, and this happens all the time, you have people to use search engines, and the search engines will allow you to literally track what you, what I, or any other person is doing at any moment in time when we're online. All of us are subject to being tracked. And at that point in time, obviously somebody was tracking him and what he was doing. All of us are subject to that because that's the way people are able to then link that information. Who are you, the user? Who am I, the user? Link that information, then find out what the URL is, in other words, the person that's creating this chat room, and then advertise on those same links to you and I again. And that's done legally all the time. For instance, suppose I wanted to research a word like silencer. It's not illegal to research how to make a silencer. It's only illegal to make one. Now, if somebody were to track my trying to get that information, supposedly, if I then downloaded and put that information on my hard drive, somebody could say that I was guilty of a crime.
Wow. So you mean simply by searching for something, you might fall into a legal quandary?
No, I didn't say that. I think that by searching for something, it's always legal to search for information. There's nothing illegal about that. The First Amendment permits that. What's illegal is to download and then distribute illegal information.
Let me pause now. You got to go slow. We're not as fast as you. I'm serious. Many of us are in the infancy of understanding the Internet as well as you. You're an attorney who specializes, I assume, in defending people, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, this is great because none of us, I don't know anything about this. This is opening up a whole world to me. So let's say this surveillance that the agencies have all over the country, and rightly so in some cases, to stop jihadists. We can all agree that if a fellow goes on the Internet or a woman and sends an email to somewhere in Pakistan and says, how do I make a bomb? I want to put it in a department store. We'd like to hope the FBI catches that, right?
Well, we would hope that the FBI prevents the creation of a bomb, but the access of information and the ability to access information in and of itself is one of the rights that we've got in our country that we have to protect. It's a very fine line.
That's an interesting point, and I'm in the free speech business, and I certainly respect that. In other words, what are we not allowed to investigate? Suddenly, the online encyclopedic search should have censorship, according to some. We need to go to Big Brother and ask permission as to what we're allowed to download. But when it comes to child pornography, I don't think there are too many people who would find any sympathy for an individual trading in this sort of stuff. Wouldn't you agree with that, Joanne?
Of course I would. Of course I would. But one of the beauties of our system of government and one of the beauties of our criminal justice system is that we have the right to access information. We have the right to believe in what we want to believe, whether or not somebody else finds our thoughts despicable and our beliefs despicable. We have the right to believe in those despicable things.
You're not arguing that a person should have the right to download images of children then, are you?
Excuse me?
You're not arguing that it should be legal for adults to download sexually graphic images of children, are you?
I am saying that I believe that the distinction, I believe that the way that we are prosecuting Bernie Ward, and I believe that the way that we can individually prosecute people is glossing over the real huge concerns that I think precipitated what was known as Operation Falcon, which was a big Operation Sting that began in, I think it was 2004. And the idea was to try to, on a state level and on a federal level, find out who sitting in their living room was trading or accessing information. The question becomes, if I'm sitting in my living room and I go onto a site that's available to every single person, and I look at that site, and I look at images on that site, and I don't trade them, and I don't distribute them, as distasteful as that may be to you and to me, as completely without any understanding of why anybody would want to look at something like that, do we say that that person, because he sits in his living room and looks at it on a site that can usually only be available to our major search engines, should be put in prison?
Well, it depends. If it's children under the age of a certain age, sure, they should be put in prison. For one reason, that would stop the exploitation of children by pornographers who are using them in this manner. In other words, if you make it illegal and you arrest people who are viewing it, the business dries up. If, on the other hand, you permit people to download images of infants being molested, you're going to get people getting in, kidnapping infants to molest them.
Isn't it really important for us, with all of the great might of our government, to find the child pornographers who are actually distributing these materials for the pedophiles that lure and prey on children?
Well, I've heard the argument before. I think it runs in a number of different directions. In order to dry up the pond, you have to take the water out of the pond. But you can't say, let's just go after the pornographers. I think you've got to go after the users. I've heard the argument with drugs, it's the same thing. But, you know, when it comes to little children, to me, they should be given the death sentence as far as I'm concerned. I don't think there's anything worse than taking a child and using a child sexually. An infant, for example, or a child. And I don't know what applies in this case. I really don't. And I don't think I'm talking about this case. But again, in the defense side, Joanne, whether we can argue over this from the point of view of the First Amendment or absolute freedom, we probably disagree on that. I can see already where you're coming from and where I'm coming from are two different points of view. But let's just get pragmatic, if we can, for the listeners across America. They go on a porn site that's legal. Accidentally, their computer shows them images of, let's say, 12-year-olds in a soft porn area way. What do they do? Who do they notify? It says if they notify, who do they notify if they accidentally get three images like that?
Well, they're supposed to, as I understand it, notify either the Homeland Security or the U.S. Attorney's Office. It's actually pretty ambiguous as to whom they notify. There are special units in the U.S. Attorney's Office, that's all they do. And I'm sure that if you called up an FBI agency and you said, hi, I've just done this,
Joe Blow calls up the FBI and says, hi, I'd like to report myself as an online predator?
Yes, I don't think that's likely to happen, do you?
I don't know. I don't know the law. That's why I wanted a lawyer on this. This is really an ambiguous area for most people. But let's go to this case in particular of the local talk show host. His lawyer, Mr. Weinstein, I think, says that he shared the images with another party and went on to an online chat room. What does that mean, in your opinion, Joanne Kingston?
Chat room means that you, through internet providers, can get into chat rooms. There are all kinds of chat rooms that we have. And then you get into these chat rooms. And once again, most of the sophisticated users get into chat rooms where you can't any longer track these people because it's through something called the Usenet. And what happens is they'll, at their very worst, let's say there are images of a child or of an infant, and there'll be a series of pictures, say a series of 12 pictures of this infant, and one chat room person will communicate with another chat room person and say, hey, I have only number 1, 6, and 7. Somebody will write back and say, I've got number 3, 9, and 12.
Oh, my God. So wait a minute. But here's the thing that bewilders me. Why do people who access this kind of stuff have an almost obsessive desire to go into chat rooms and share such vile images? What's the motive in that? Can you hold on? Joanne Kingston's an attorney in Oakland, California, who's an expert in cyber defense. Joanne, can you stay with us on the Savage Nation?
Be happy to.
Thank you very much. This is very interesting. I hope you're enjoying listening to this because it could happen to you by accident. I'll be right back. Savage. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Time is short. There's a local talk show host indicted on child porn charges. He is the interesting part here is that he's an extreme progressive, ex-Catholic priest, married with four children. And it's a shocker. I mean, he worked for ABC Radio here, and his politics aside, his lawyer has said that he and several other lawyers have spent 3 years trying to argue with the FBI that their client should not be indicted. Joining us is Joanne Kingston, an attorney who specializes in cyber defense out of Oakland, California. Joanne, welcome back to the Savage Nation. So again, why do folks go into chat rooms? What's that all about? In other words, what's the psychology of that? Why do they do that?
The psychology of that is beyond my expertise as a criminal defense lawyer. I think that more importantly, in terms of looking at this particular case that involves Mr. Ward, the psychology of what he was doing would cut against anything that the sophisticated user goes into these chat rooms to do. I mean, Mr. Ward, from what I can glean, was trying to go into these chat rooms to see how they work. And the odd conundrum is that unless you enter into...
Oh, wait. I know the defense is that he was doing a book. But you and I both know if a person is going to enter this kind of dangerous area to do a book, couldn't they do it through the U.S. Attorney's Office to make certain they don't get ensnared in their own or hung by their own petard just by accident? If God knows I was doing a show on terrorism, I wouldn't start communicating with terrorists and say, oh, well, I'm not a terrorist. I would go to the U.S. attorney and say, I'm Michael Savage. I want to investigate terrorism. I want to work through your office so you don't think I'm involved. Wouldn't that be the logical way to do that?
Well, it does seem to me that Mr. Ward has done that. Ironically, it does seem that Mr. Ward has been more than open about why he was doing it, telling people exactly what he was doing and why he was doing it. Had he been a sophisticated user, he would have been able to have flown below the government.
Well, no, you keep repeating that, but apparently that argument didn't fly with the U.S. Attorney's Office. Why do you think that they went ahead and indicted him anyway?
Well, now you're asking for political, what could become a political question, and I don't really think that.
Well, but I think your argument is more political than the U.S. Attorney's motions, frankly. But nevertheless, that's what makes America go round. Joanne Kingston, thanks for coming on the Savage Nation. When I come back, we'll talk amongst ourselves on this and other topics right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Two, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around 2 o'clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, home. We'll have some fun.
Put on your peg pants, put on your blue suede shoes, and get ready for another big hour of the Savage Nation. When the chrome was thick and the women were straight. Suddenly it's 1959. All right, thanks, guys. We'll catch you later. Great music, Bill Haley and the Comets, Rock Around the Clock. But we're talking about something that's appalling. And I'm going to put aside this guy's politics for a minute. I hate his politics. And the little I've encountered this talk show host, I hate his guts. I'll be frank. I'm going to level with you. He put up every impediment known to mankind when I first stepped into a studio across from him. He said things about me that were so disgusting that I almost resorted to violence, but I was told not to. He called me every name under the sun, but I just took it. And now I'm here and he's there. Now this terrible thing has happened to a local left-wing. I wouldn't even call him a left-wing. It's beyond left-wing. I can live with liberals. This man is not a liberal. Hates the church. Hates the cops. Hates the police. Hates the military. Worked for Barbara Boxer as an aide. You name it, he is everything I detest. But let's put that aside. He is now indicted as of yesterday and taken off the air at ABC Radio here in San Francisco. 56 years old. Had a good long run as a so-called progressive. Also ran God Talk to blaspheme God every Sunday. So his lawyer says he's not a sexual predator. He was simply doing research for a book on hypocrisy in America and was not engaged in anything more. Now, let me pause right there. I had a lawyer on who defends people accused of cyber crimes in the last hour. She took his side, which is fine. I would have expected that. That's her job. But I would argue that if a man is going to enter in such a perilous area as this, knowing all of the dangers involved, and you want to research a book on child pornography by trying to engage people who engage in this kind of garbage, you go to the U.S. attorney and you say, I'm a newsman, I'm a journalist, and I'm going to do this, and I want you to understand I'm doing it. I don't want you to get mixed up and think this is what I'm doing for my pleasure. Can I do it through your office? Can you set up a computer with a hard line into my home so I can do it and you know when I'm on it? What do you mean you do it in your? That sounds like rubbish to me. Now, the lawyer Weinberg goes on and says, the government knows that Bernie was doing this for an investigation he was doing for a book. Then it says he downloaded a few images of child pornography. Well, even one is illegal. Never mind a few. And we don't know whether it's a 15-year-old, 12-year-old, or an infant. In a brief interview, the perpetrator of this particular problem said he thought it was time to expose the dirty secret of the internet in a book. Okay, hello. And federal authorities seized this guy's computer in early 05, and there was no evidence of child pornography or any other impropriety, said the lawyer. He said, we've been trying to convince the government that this is not something they should proceed with. They said he violated the law. Sorry. Authorities in the case note that this talk show host was monitored while he went on a chat room and sent and received child porn images, according to sources to the newspaper. The lawyer chose not to comment on those little details, those embarrassing details. Now, here's the interesting part. The possession of child pornography by itself is a felony, without regard to intent, according to federal statutes. Now, that's an interesting statement. The federal statute says if you possess child pornography, you've committed a felony. We don't care why you have it. We don't care if you were using it for titillation purposes or you're writing a book. And the reason for that, I think, is good. As I said to you, this swamp needs to be drained. And after the water is out of the swamp, let all of the viruses and the protozoans and the eels die in the mud. And the only way to drain it is by attacking it from all sides at once. You hit it with insecticide on the top and you drain the swamp from the bottom. And that means you get the child pornographers and you get the users. That's how I see it. Otherwise, you're never going to dry up that swamp. Now, federal law allows for the accidental discovery of three images or less to be forgiven. As long as, listen to this. The matter is promptly reported. We don't know who that means you report it to. Or that the images are immediately destroyed. The article says there is no indication that Ward took such steps. The minimum penalty is 5 years per child porn image. A San Francisco grand jury heard the case. And blah, blah, blah. I think it's an excellent news article, by the way. Normally, I disagree with everything the local paper does. This is actually a pretty fair article. I mean, they're on his side because politically they agree with him, but they really didn't leave out any of the details. And then they went on to all of his social goods, his Thanksgiving and his giving away donuts and how much money he raised for people with diseases. Well, I never hear this kind of defense for evangelicals who got caught in a car with a prostitute. All I hear the left screaming for their heads. I didn't hear such defenses about the Republican caught in a stall with a wide stance about the good he may have done. All I heard was that he touched the guy's foot in a stall. And now we're hearing this is a political attack, which I don't believe for a minute, by the way. If there was no case, they wouldn't have a case. That's all there is to it. So, but having said that, I want to hear what you have to say now that we've talked about it, because this is a local story, local left-wing, progressive, big mouth, charged with internet kitty porn, married, 4 children, 50-some years of age, former Catholic priest, former legislative aide for none other than Barbara Boxer. KNEW, John, San Francisco, your opinion, please, go ahead.
Yeah, Michael, I've been listening for the last 2 days from a bunch of people who don't know anything about computers whatsoever, and they're mouthing off, and that woman you just had on, by the way, was dead wrong about almost half of what she said.
Hold on now, I don't know anything about computers, so I'm one of those guilty. She's an attorney who defends those accused of such things. Your background is what, John?
I've been writing about computers for the last 30 years.
Okay, good. All right, so we're going to accept your expertise. Go ahead, you got the floor.
All right, the way this works is that every computer has an IP address if it's on the Internet, and that IP address is like an invisible phone number, and you don't really notice it, but it follows your computer around with you, and it's tracked only, generally speaking, by the Internet service provider, which would be AT&T or Bell or whoever it is, Verizon, Sprint, whoever you're using.
Right.
And that's where, you know, if they get those logs, they can pretty much see what you've been doing and where you're going and where you're coming from. Not generally can they tell if you are transferring files necessarily, although it's possible in some situations. But generally speaking, when you do a law enforcement case like this, you've got to either get on that guy's machine somehow. And the best way to do that, and I know this has been done a number of times, is you can plant a Trojan horse on the machine, which allows the machine to be operated remotely. Now, this is one of the things.
Whoa, that's amazing. They can put a Trojan horse in anyone's computer and operate it remotely? So how do we know somebody didn't do this without him even knowing it?
Well, there's a couple of things that bother me about this particular case, and specifically the fact that, one, if you know you're supposed to be able to destroy these things within, if you you will receive if you're on the internet and you're going through chat rooms, which again, this attorney woman didn't realize this is one of the most common things. There's probably 2,000 or 3,000 chat rooms in the AOL system alone, and everybody, all the amateurs use it. This is not for sophisticated users. I don't know where that came from. Somebody else.
You're leaving me. I'm a little more confused than you may think about what you're saying. You just said something that to me is a mind blower. You said that an agency can put a Trojan horse into anyone's computer and access their computer remotely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know that's true because there's a couple of services that we use here in the radio business where my staff can enter my computer and adjust my computer screen, for example. We've had that for years. So you're saying the police have the same power, obviously.
Well, there was even a case a couple years ago where a mafia guy who kept all his files encrypted, they had to actually break into his office, plant a Trojan horse, or actually was a keylogger, which essentially every time you type on the computer, it logs every single keystroke you make.
And then John, let me talk to the average person out there who's not sophisticated, and that's me. Could somebody go into another person's computer and download child pornography without them knowing it?
It is possible.
Oh, wait, hold on. Well, if I were in a jury and someone told me that, if a defense attorney said that, I would say, what? How do we know someone didn't do this to him? Answer, because his own lawyer, by admission to the newspaper, said that he went on to that he downloaded and sent out images of child pornography. He even talked about it in an internet chat room. He admitted that.
I understand where they're coming from with that. It sounds like just an admission of guilt to me.
I don't understand what kind of lawyer before a trial would even say that my client admits that he downloaded them and he went into an internet chat room. What kind of idiot lawyer would do that?
Maybe they're trying to trick someone. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean this whole thing is a setup to get somebody else?
Well, I mean, it could be that. It could be they're trying. Who knows? I mean, the whole thing is fishy. Since it took place years and years ago, what took so long for the indictment? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, from a legal point of view, it does make sense because lawyers can delay indictments for years. I've seen that in murder cases, drug cases, you name it. Good lawyers can delay cases for years. I've seen that go on and on and on. In fact, it happened with the guy who was recently found not guilty, the guy with the crazy hair in L.A. who allegedly shot the girl in his driveway, the record producer from the 60s, the Wall of Sound, Phil Spector. His lawyers delayed the case for 2 years or 3 years until eventually he had to go to trial. So, no, lawyers can delay based on a million different things. I need more time for discovery. My client has a toothache. My client had an appendix attack. I need to go to Brazil and invest. You know, they can go on and on. But eventually they have to go to court. In this case, they delayed, and so I would say that sounds reasonable to me. But this idea of simply doing research for a book on child porn, John, as an expert, and you've written about this for years, if somebody's doing that kind of dangerous investigation, couldn't they go to a U.S. attorney and say, I'm doing this, can you please set me up with a computer?
There's a lot of ways you could do it. Yeah, that's one thing you could try, but they probably wouldn't like you doing that either. That's just a dangerous book to consider writing. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me somebody would do it.
Doesn't make a lot of sense that somebody would even do it. Well, you'd be a good witness for the prosecution, not for the defense. I don't understand about the chat room stuff. Can you tell me for a minute the psychology of people who download these vile images? Why do they have a need? Not in his case, I'm saying in general. Why do so many child predators, child pornographic people who trade in this kind of thing, why do they have a need to trade back and forth? What is the psychology of that, John?
That's one thing. I'm not a psychologist, but I can say that I know that they've set up these secret chat rooms, generally speaking, in very obscure areas of the internet, and they form clubs. And I think it's the only way they can get distribution for this material, because these people are collectors. It's just like anybody else who a lot of these people that just download porn left and right all day. And some of these guys download child porn, and they have to go to these chat rooms, I believe, because they're secret. You know, they think they're like a secret clubhouse, but all you have to do is
So in other words, psychologically, they think they're getting over on society. They're doing something real sneaky. Isn't that what you're saying? Is they act like they're real criminals here, and they get an excitement out of it, right?
It must be, because it's the only thing I can think of. But
I'll tell you. But do you agree with me, though, that in order to stop the trading of child pornography, you've got to arrest people who look at it as well as those who make it?
Yeah, no, I would have to agree with you, but there's the one problem you have, which is the regular porn collectors, and there must be millions of them. I don't think you can go into a situation, and there used to be a thing that I actually coined the term porn storm, where you would go into usually an AOL or one of these low-end chat rooms, and then someone would say, would you like to get a couple of images? And many times you auto-download, which means that the image comes over and it automatically goes to your hard disk, whether you want it or not. And they just throw a thousand of them at you. And have to go.
Why would his hard drive, before we go, we got to go to a break. John, when the government took his computer away, there were no images on the hard drive. Why?
Two possibilities. One, he wisely erased them, or two, he had them encrypted and they couldn't find them.
So how did they go ahead with an indictment if they couldn't find them?
It doesn't make sense to me either. The whole thing is baffling.
Baffling. Okay, we'll leave it at that. This is the Savage Nation. Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation. We're talking about child pornography in the hands of allegedly in the hands of a rabid left wing talk show host, not being covered, by the way, by the industry publications such as Inside Radio or the others, not being covered by the major media. But should a conservative or a Republican slip, there is endless coverage of their slippage. Isn't that interesting? Sacramento Jack, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Michael, I'm one of the guys that donates every year to this guy's charity, and the only reason why I listen to him is because I think he does some good stuff for the charity, but he attacks you at least 3 out of the 5 nights, you and Dr. Bill, constantly on the show, and I was not going to send him a donation this year because of the fact 2 weeks ago he said he couldn't stand why they play the national anthem big sporting events. That's how I am.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I know who this guy. Look, politically, I don't like the man. And again, a man is innocent until proven guilty. But this case stinks to high heaven. Everything about it is wrong. Something doesn't add up. Many things don't add up. But for the lawyer to say the things he said has almost condemned his client before the trial. Wouldn't you agree, Jack?
I totally agree, and the station won't talk about this at all. It's amazing. He'll talk about you if you get in trouble, and make a big deal about. But this is the biggest story in San Francisco, and the station won't comment at all. None of the hosts.
Yeah, I noticed that they were talking about Romney's Mormonism today. Well, that's the kind of spinelessness you'd expect from those stations, that they ape freedom of speech, but they're not very good at aping it. I'm truly engaged in freedom of speech, and I'm paying for it, but that's the nature of the game. And I'm really glad you said that you contributed to his charities because you agree with them, but you wouldn't anymore because of the national anthem thing. But again, his politics are not the issue. The issue is the child porn. And to me, the lawyer has already put the three nails into a coffin that has only four. Thanks for the call. If a coffin has four nails, the lawyer already put three in. He put them in and he put Bondo on top of them. I never saw anything like it. Go read the article yourself on MichaelSavage.com. I linked it up. You tell me what you think. Next up, Craig Smith of Swiss America.
Savage.
Back to the one and only Savage Nation. I got to tell you, the show is flying because I'm learning. And it goes back to the premise of who I am. When I learn something, there is no time. And too much of radio is involved in the same topics over and over and over. Illegal aliens, Islamo-fascism, the border, the this, the that. How much can you take of that? They're important topics, but I've covered it until I'm blue in the face, so to speak. And this topic to me, this whole issue of protecting children, is very important to me, number one. I don't think there's anything more important, because if you analyze all the problems in society, they're all geared around the next generation when you actually think about it. But I'm going to go into that another time. Anyway, I'm having a very interesting show today on the Savage Nation. I hope you're enjoying it and learning from it and are somewhat cautioned by some of the things you've learned. I want to go to a problem I am having. I have been attacked by an organization called CAIR, Council on American Islamic Relations, so-called, and I've had to countersue them. I had to sue them to stop them from picking off my advertisers one at a time. I have set up a legal defense fund, and one of my advertisers, who's been with me from day one, Swiss America, the gold people, sent a $10,000 check to the defense fund. The CEO is Craig Smith, an all-around great guy. Never mind the donation. I love Craig. Craig, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thank you very much for the donation.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you for your kind words.
What do you have to say to my listeners, Craig? You're the man right now. Go ahead.
Well, Michael, I have to tell you, I think that this is a time in American history in your program where I think Americans have a unique opportunity, and that's to stand with you on what is right for America. You know, I'm taken aback by this whole issue with CARE because I have been slammed with mail from their people saying that you promote hate speech. And I would like to correct the record, Michael. You do just the opposite. You're promoting love. You're telling people the truth about what's happening. And mm-hmm. To me, somebody that tells somebody the truth, although it may be tough at times, that's the perfect example of love. And what's amazing...
Well, look, I've heard this before from other pressure groups who don't like your politics. They call you hate talker and this and that. You know, one man's love is the other man's hate. And to me, it's a matter of, are you for America or against America? Do you want to destroy Christianity? Do you want to eliminate Christianity? Do you want to replace Christianity? Do you want to break the crosses off war memorials? Do you want to disseminate more drugs, sex, and rock and roll, or don't you? You know, we're in a culture war, and I'm caught up in this war, if anyone is, Craig. That's the whole point.
And Michael, that's why I think there's a unique opportunity. As I told you off the air, I find it hard to believe in the 8 million listeners that you have. There are not businessmen and well-to-do people that could send you a minimum of $1,000 apiece. But I believe there's 1,000 people that could send you $10,000 apiece. That would give you the war chest necessary to fight this fight and come out victorious. You know what's amazing is that the name of the group that's after you, Michael, is the Council on American Islamic Relations. Now think about that. Those people should want somebody saying that Islamo-terrorism is wrong. They should want people saying that radical Islam has to be stopped. That would make for good relations between America and the Islamic world.
You're right. Right, and they took my remarks out of context. I was going off against Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, and they know it, and the tapes will prove it. And instead, they made it sound as though I was going off against Islam, which I was not. I'm a believer in all of the five principal religions on earth, or in people not practicing a religion, if they're good people. But nobody's going to tell me that I have to support Islamofascism, or else I'm going to lose my radio show. I won't do it. They can take my show away, but they can't take my truth away, Craig.
No, you're right, Michael. And look, I've had discussions with you off the air. I wish people could hear how open and soft, if that's the right word, your heart is to all people. That's the beautiful part about you, Michael. You've raised a great family. Sometime along the way, you've had to tell that family in love things that they did not want to hear, but it made for a great family. It's the same thing with the fight that you're in for the future of America's soul, Michael. You're telling people the right thing. It's out of love. It's not out of hate, and it will have its day of a return. I just hope that people around America understand the fight, realize how important it is for them to get involved. $50, $100, $1,000. I truly believe, Michael, with all my heart, there's 1,000 people that can write a check for $10,000 and give you not just the money to fight, but to give you the ability to see that America is solely behind you in this battle and that we can come out. And, hey, this is going to be the benefit of Muslims in America. This is going to be to the benefit of the people at CAIR. If their motivations are as true and as honorable.
Maybe they'll come to understand that their attack on me is wrong. I hope that they are reasonable people because I have to defend myself at all costs here. If I go down, who's next, Craig? Which of the other talk show hosts will go next is the issue. You and I both know how the enemy of freedom, how the enemies of freedom have operated from the beginning of time. When tyrants are weak, they start with one at a time. When tyrants are strong, they take down an entire nation all at once.
That's right, and I don't think we understand that, you know, corruption, really, when you think about it, Michael, is fundamental to human beings. But tyrants are left unchecked with that corruption. And that corruption, as you would say, I mean, you just had a story earlier tonight about how a youth was hung in Iran for being a homosexual. Don't the homosexuals in America realize that's coming to America if it's not stopped?
I'm the one who's been trying to tell them that for years. They don't listen to me. They hate me more than they hate the Iranians who hang gays. I can't explain that, Craig. It's the same with Muslim groups who have decided to hate me instead of hating Ahmadinejad, who is their biggest enemy, unless they're secretly working for him or secretly admire him. How do I know?
Well, then, Michael, all I can tell you is their hate is not towards you. Their hate is towards the truth. I mean, you've got to keep in mind, Michael, that you're telling people the truth. And whenever you do that, you're not going to have everybody be your best friend. And I am honored to stand in this fight with you, Michael. It's the right fight. It's the right time. I thank God that you took the energy and the effort and, quite frankly, the sacrifice, Michael, to say, enough's enough. I'm drawing a line in the sand. We're going to fight back. I'm filing this lawsuit, and I'm moving forward. And Michael, I'm so proud of you. I've never told you this off the air, but I am so proud of what you've done. And look, I hope this is just the beginning of us sending more money. I'm with you in this fight. I hope every American's with you in this fight, and together we'll win it, and it will be a victory for America. Not for Michael Savage, but for the truth and for America.
God bless you, Craig Smith, Swiss America, and thank you for your $10,000 pledge to the Michael Savage Defense Fund. Craig, I hope to see you very soon. Regards to your lovely wife and your children.
Same to you and your family. Have a wonderful holiday season, Michael.
I will. Merry Christmas, Craig. Don't be afraid to say it on my show. You're allowed to say Merry Christmas on the Savage Nation. You can say Happy Hanukkah. You can say Blessed Ramadan. You know, I told you I respect five of the five principal religions of the earth or no religion. I mean, you know, it's a matter of the person. What they do with their life is what matters to me. Anyway, if you want to get involved and you want to see the lawsuit, michaelsavage.com has all the information. That's all there is to it. Now, let's go back to the topics we were talking about before, because they're very, very important. And there are other topics, you know, that I haven't gotten to. You know, we're talking about Romney's religion as a Mormon. It's not an issue for me. I don't care what a person's view of heaven is, so long as they behave on earth. And I've said that to people I've met. But why, if Romney's religion is fair game, why is Obama's Muslim father and Muslim grandfather not fair game? Huh? Same with Michael Savage. It seems that all the newspapers in America, including the Associated Press, couldn't wait breathlessly to attack me by pretending to be journalists in my lawsuit, but they won't cover the issue of a rabid left-wing mad dog guy who's not only been accused but indicted for having downloaded images, according to the federal government. How come they've done that? How come the AP hasn't covered that story and disseminated it to 117 newspapers? Portland, Oregon, Randy on KXL. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, first time, long time, you know, the routine.
You don't like people who download kiddie porn any more than I do. I have no compassion for a person who does that, whether he's guilty or innocent. In general, anybody who trades in this stuff, to me, should be given the maximum punishment, not the minimum. I have no sympathy for them whatsoever. I didn't like the idea that we have a right to do what we want in the privacy of our own home under any circumstances. That's ludicrous. In other words, if a person likes to look at child pornography, somebody has to make that child pornography, don't they? And in order to make it, you have to exploit a child. Isn't that the way it goes, Randy? Isn't that logic?
That's the way it usually goes. And then you get the pop-ups that pop up no matter what. And there's no way you can hide that stuff. If it's on your computer, unless you're using somebody else's computer, there's no way to hide it. And if you...
I don't know whether he's innocent or guilty, but I know that in order to drain the swamp, you've got to drain the swamp both from the bottom and by using powerful pesticides on the water itself. And so we'll have to wait and see. San Diego, Kevin, KFMB, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to talk to you about the child porn thing. These guys that go into these chat rooms, you had asked the question about why do these guys go into the chat rooms? And I think
yes.
It's simple. I think that when these guys are involved in deviant behavior, I think what it does is it normalizes the activity. And I think these guys, they're involved in this stuff. And when they go into these chat rooms, it makes them feel like, hey, look, there's other people out here that are doing this same kind of thing. It's not so bad.
And all right. So it makes it feel like it's legitimate. Is that why they do it? I got it. I thank you very much for the call. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone of Marianne on K Dawn in Las Vegas. Welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It just struck me when the attorney you had on a little while ago, when she said supposedly the, you know, Attorney General's office did know about his investigation. And I'm thinking that the timing and everything is just a whole ploy to take the attention off of your case getting so much publicity.
No, I don't think it. I appreciate your caring about me. I don't think it has a darn thing to do with me. But who knows the way things operate? I really don't know. All right, we're going to move on to other topics or this topic. If you want to talk about chat rooms, police, the government, surveillance, or any other topic that we've touched on, or even Pearl Harbor, the remembrance today. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back. I'm Michael Savage. Much bigger topic than child porn right now, and that is that despite the best laid plans of Hillary Clinton and the Democrats in coming out with phony intelligence that Iran has stopped the nuclear weapons development program, which was the front page story in the New York Times and the LA Times and the Chicago Tribune, only 18% of Americans have fallen into the belief that that is true. In other words, they're not buying the liberal propaganda that was set up strictly to undermine George Bush and Dick Cheney. It's amazing to me how intelligent the American people seem to be. I think the people are starting to be able to read between the various internet and print media and broadcast media and talk radio sources and come up with their own conclusions. People are very skeptical these days and able to make up their own opinion. And the idea that Hillary can control what people think because she controls the New York Times and a few other newspapers, as well as ABC, CBS, and NBC, those days are over. The world has changed. So we're into a whole new world, and I would say it's maybe a brave new world. Is it okay for the government to spy on the internet? Yes or no? KNEW, San Francisco. Doug, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Absolutely, Michael. I've had personal experience where I had an employee who spent most of his day, unbeknownst to me, looking at child porn. And when the Secret Service came in through the glass doors and seized his computer, because he was off in New York visiting his supposed rendezvous. I flew to New York to help put him in jail for the next 17 years. And so I.
What do you mean? Now, that's a very important topic. An employer whose computers are actually the employer's property, if an employee uses that property to go on to get kiddie porn, is the employer at all liable?
We were not liable other than the fact that we lost our computers for the investigating period.
No, but I remember in the old days, if you let's say you owned a rental house and your renter dealt drugs out of your house, you could have lost that house even though you weren't dealing the drugs yourself. Remember those days?
Yes, I do.
So thank God it hasn't yet, let's say, backed up the sewer into this computer porn thing where an employer becomes responsible for what an employee might be downloading on a computer, Doug. So you're saying you're glad that the Secret Service was spying on this guy, obviously. You didn't know this disgusting behavior was going on.
I did not know it was going on. And he had saved 1,500 chats that were all pornographic in nature. And it turns out that this was not his first offense. And he had been chatting with what he thought was an underage child who ended up being a Secret Service agent.
Well, okay, I agree with you. How are you going to stop this kind of, whether it's the predators in this case or even people who are looking at the vile images of children in sexual postures or even terrorism? You know, the liberals argue that we've lost our freedoms. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. There's no such thing as absolute freedom, Doug. And we need to have somebody watching cyberspace just as we have people watching the highways and byways. I've said for years we need red light, green lights, and red lights on the roadways or we'd all be crashing into each other. And I have no problem whatsoever with police on the Internet, frankly. Thank you very much for the call. It's an interesting story. It really is. You want to talk about this, any other topic? All good. Terrific. KNEW San Francisco. Ray, it gives new meaning to San Francisco, doesn't it? Ray, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Indeed, Michael. Two things stand out here. And first of all, thank you for the continuing education. Two things stand out. If it were Michael Savage, you'd be strung and quartered already, Mike. Your career would be over before it started. And the second thing is you can walk into any public library in San Francisco and look at this same material. In fact, the library silently condones it because they will not block this porn. In fact, they've gone to court to make
yes,
sure.
Yes, I know that. And guess who went to court to permit libraries to download child porn? The ACLU, who, in my opinion, should be taken down by the Secret Service. But that's that's a wish fulfillment fantasy of my own, which is that all the leaders of the ACLU are taken out in handcuffs and given the perp walk, and all their donors are taken in next for having aided and abetted these pornographers. But don't get me started. The ACLU pretends to be for freedom of speech and freedom of that. 90% of them are perverts. 90% of the leadership of the ACLU is involved either in drug dealing, drug usage, child pornography, or you name it. And it comes out and seeps out, but they're the people who want to destroy the churches and the cross and the family and the cops and the military. Okay, don't get me started on my favorite topic. Let me catch my breath right here. Charleston, South Carolina. Danny, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to try and give everybody a little bit of an understanding of how these chat rooms work. A chat room is kind of like a playing field, football, basketball. It doesn't matter. But what happens is, and anybody can do it, you fill out a little application, and you get what's called host privileges from the provider. Now, what a host privilege does, it allows you to watch everything that's going on in that chat room, even files being shared, and you can kick people out, whatever. And a lot of law enforcement do that. They get a host privilege, and you can go and look in and look in and look in, and they're looking for keywords.
Mm-hmm.
When they find it, with the host privilege, you can actually see the IP address. And that's your phone number for your computer. It's unique to every computer.
Well, what if a person goes on a computer and looks up fertilizer and sodium phosphate? Wouldn't you expect that to trigger a set of alarm bells, trip a bunch of signals down up and down the security lines?
Well, I can give you a little bit of a clue. The Internet actually hubs through Washington, D.C. Everything going into the Internet throughout the states. goes in on fiber optic lines, and there's a reason we like to keep it in the States. Anything that's traveling can be monitored. And
I got to ask another question. You sound like a guy who works in this business, and I'm not going to ask any further. I wouldn't expect an answer, but we have not been attacked since 9/11. We've had random attempts at attacks. We've had the individual lunatics driving people over and screaming Allah Akbar. I can name five such cases. But an orchestrated attack by Islamofascism we have not had. Isn't that because the Internet is pretty well monitored?
Yes, it is. And like I said, it all hugs.
Well, that's the answer. Danny, there's the answer we all need to hear. I hope they catch every person downloading child pornography and they throw the book at them. I have no sympathy whatsoever for anybody who hurts children. That's the number one problem, hurting children.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
CBS News flash announcing the attack on Pearl Harbor way back when many children in this country don't even know who was on which side in World War II. They don't know who Franklin Delano Roosevelt was. They don't know who Hitler was, they don't know who Stalin was, and here we are today. They have headphones on with things in their ears, listening to vile lyrics, and they're going to pay your Social Security, are they? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website you must visit in order to catch up on all the stories we've been talking about. And one of the big stories is, of course, the child porn accusations against a local left-wing radical big mouth, and the fact that the media won't cover it. The Associated Press sent out a reporter to cover my problem with radical Islam, but they didn't seem to cover it through an AP story disseminated widely when a man is accused of downloading child porn, even though he's a leftist. I wonder why. But what I did while the AP reporter was in my studio this week was I had a cameraman there filming her and filming me. And here's a piece of my conversation about religion and Islam with the Associated Press reporter on Monday. Go ahead, please.
How often does your show deal with Islam? Is it a daily topic of conversation?
No, I would be bored to death if it was.
Once a week, twice a week?
Whatever the issue comes up.
Okay.
In the news. I'm a news-oriented talk show.
Right. So you rip off whatever.
Yeah. In other words, what have the people read or heard about that they want to talk about? So if they heard about the Teddy Bear Muhammad story, we'll talk about it. I'm not going to go out of my way to look up a Muslim story because it's frankly boring.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah.
It would be like talking about Catholicism or the wafer or talking about Judaism and the matzah. Yeah. I'm not interested in those topics unless it's Passover or Easter. There's a lot of family stories, my childhood in New York, growing up, what it was like to be an immigrant son. But you see, most people like to hear about the struggle of the immigrant family. How did I become a best-selling author? How have I written 25 books? How have the last four books been in the New York Times bestseller list? How does this happen in a family, some of whom didn't speak English? It's
Let's
the American...
Stop right here. You'll notice none of this wound up in the Associated Press news article about me. You'll notice... this is how the world of press works. So they like to edit me? Well, I got news for you. I like to edit them. And you know how I edit them? By not editing them. by letting you hear for yourself what I say and what winds up in a story. For example, in this interview with the Associated Press reporter, the AP reporter, the key thing I said was, if you take away a man's millstone, it is as though you have killed him. That's written in the, if not the Bible itself, in some of the commentary on the Bible. If you take away a man's millstone, it is as though you... Now, to her credit, she put it in the article. But there's a local newspaper here, a vermin runs it, and he has little vermi who work for him. They left that out of the rewrite of the AP story. In other words, it wasn't distorted enough for the vermi that they gave it to. And the little vermi took out that line. Anything that made me seem reasonable and sound of mind, the little vermi took out of the article. But so what? My listeners are who matters to me. You get it? It's all that matters to me is you. Go on. Play a little bit more. Play it, Sam.
Well, and the Islamic immigrants are probably experiencing much the same thing.
They are, and many of them call me and say, you know, 75% of what you say, I agree with, mm-hmm. meaning the family values, the strong family values, blah, 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 the religious values they like. But I said, how could you agree with me on the Middle East? I wouldn't expect mm-hmm. you to. We're mm-hmm. always going to disagree on that. So I don't even want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I frankly try to avoid talking about Israel and Palestinian question. I've given up on it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't solve it because God can't solve it. Read Abraham and Isaac. Leave me alone already with the subject. I'm not going to... Or they ask me what should be done. I said, hey, you know, my friend, Israel has one of the largest militaries on earth. If they can't use it because yeah. of political reasons, don't ask me what I think. Ask them. Leave me alone. Don't drag me into the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I've said
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I have many Palestinians who love the show here in the Bay Area because they have the same family structure, family viewpoint that I do. I know that they've called the show over the years. They're terrified of these throwbacks. The ones who want their wives in hijabs. I know them. They're very educated. They want the white picket fence. They want the Toyota. And they want a poodle, maybe.
Yeah.
But they're afraid of the people who don't like the modern world.
Right.
It really is an issue of modernity versus this retrograde view of women, homosexuals, and the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're fighting for, aren't we?
Now, let's pause right there. That's as clear as a bell. But that didn't wind up in the Associated Press story. That didn't wind up in the San Francisco Chronicle. There was nothing sympathetic for me, but it was so well done. Don't you think Mike did a very good job? So from now on, when I do interviews with the media, I think I'll have a little tape running. And I'll say, you can do what you want. You can edit me all you want. But I'm going to play the interview afterwards the way I want to. Let the people judge for themselves. I don't think there'll be too many interviews after this. I don't think anybody wants a fair playing field when it comes to Michael Savage. I think they like it just the way it is, which is we take the moving picture and we show any snapshots we want. We'll get you when you pick your nose. We'll get you when you rub the dandruff on the back of your neck. I don't have any dandruff. I never did. But you know what I'm talking about. We'll get you when you sneeze. We'll get you when you cough. We'll get you when you look worried. We'll get you when you look scared. We'll never show you as you are. That's why we're called reporters. Harrisburg, PA, Matt, quickly, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, pretty much the story with the AP making you look like a goon, I'm with you 100%. I think that they just make
Were you
look-
able to hear that ape, that report? Were you able to hear what we just played just now? Did it play clearly enough for you to hear it?
Yeah, it's kind of choppy. I don't know.
It was choppy and a little inaudible. It was almost like a hidden camera, but it wasn't. I had a videographer there. He just didn't have it mic'd. That's all. But you heard it. Maybe I should do a transcript, Beowulf, and post it. Let people judge for themselves why the good things about Michael didn't wind up in the article. But you know what? I'm sick and tired of selling myself. The listeners who love me, love me. And those who want to crucify me will always want to crucify me. They catch a fat pervert with kiddie porn in his lap, and they say he was doing a book on it. But, you know, that's the way the world, because his politics match theirs. You understand why I call it San Francisco or San Francisco? You get it? How much time do I have left in this segment? I'm getting a migraine already. I have great interviews in this hour, and then I'm going to come back to you. Next is my good friend Selwyn Duke. He's always got something for you. We spoke earlier. Then after him is, put it on the message board because I forgot already, it's Robert Spencer, Jihad Watch. You can't miss that one. You'll notice what I'm doing lately in the third hour of my show. I'm putting in some blockbuster interviews on the show, which I didn't do in the past, and I'm saving them for the third part of the show each day because I want you to listen for 3 hours a day. There's literally each hour is different, and each hour can't be reproduced. Nothing is a wraparound generally. Today, sometimes we went over from hour one to hour two, but by and large, not. So now what you're going to see is I've snapped and the gunmen and the people crying and, oh, my God, it's terrible, the mall thing. The news, the media is so bad that they actually went into a mental home with other people who are in the mental hospital and asked the people with nose rings, eye rings, earrings. You know, they're poor, unfortunate teenagers, or young 20s, on drugs in there. And they asked them why the guy who snapped what he was like. You're supposed to have sympathy for him. Sympathy for the guy who just shot people in a mall, not sympathy for the people whose families are left behind and whose hearts are broken forever. Why? Because liberalism is a very serious mental disorder. It's incurable, as a matter of fact. But with God's will and your listenership, we will apply the cure little by little. I'll be back. We've talked about hate crimes before, usually with a follow-up on thought crimes. Selwyn Duke has printed an article addressing a case involving a black Baltimore fireman, a picture of a noose, and thought police. He's with us now. Hi there, Selwyn.
Hello, Michael. Nice to be with you again. Michael, people might remember the story from a while back about the black firefighter who reported a so-called hate crime in East Baltimore. He said he found a knotted rope and threatening note with a picture of a noose on it in his firehouse. Well, guess what? Now we know that the fireman, his name is Donald Maynard, planted the object himself. Now, Michael, the city's mayor, Sheila Dixon, had been very upset about this incident, and she fanned the flames of racial unrest, basically saying that racism was running rampant in the city. But listen to this. Now that we know that the perpetrator isn't white, she says that the offender won't be charged criminally.
This is insane. Why isn't he going to be charged?
Well, look, Michael, that's an excellent question, and I don't want to be misunderstood here. As you know, I've been an ardent opponent of hate crime laws because, as more and more people are starting to realize, they're an effort at thought control. So I don't believe anyone should be prosecuted simply for displaying politically incorrect symbols. But what do they say, Michael? The best way to eliminate an unjust law is to enforce it across the board. And come on, if the perpetrator had been white, you can bet that there'd be a hate crime charge right now. Now, of course, some are going to say, well, it's obvious why Maynard won't be charged. He was just perpetrating a hoax. Hatred had nothing to do with it. But how do we know that? Maybe he hated white people so much that he wanted to demonize them through this act.
Oh, but of course, that's not the kind of hatred we care about, right, Selwyn?
Well, of course, we know that it's not, and that's the problem. Another thing, though, Michael, is, do we really think that every white person who displays these symbols is driven by hatred? Don't white people perpetrate hoaxes, too? I mean, there's no shortage of folks, let's face it, who just love causing mayhem and reading about their handiwork in the news. But, funny thing, the hoax defense never seems to work with white people. In fact, Michael, here's what we're told. Listen to this. They say such acts are so damaging to the wider targeted community that harsher punishment is warranted. Well, here's the thing. Wasn't that ill-defined damage done between the time Maynard made his report and the time he admitted it was false? And it seems to me also that if the damage is the same, the punishment should be identical to what a white person would get. I mean, look, we have to ask, are we judging the act or the skin color? And there's another important point to be made here, Michael. If ever there was an unjust type of racial profiling, this is it.
This is insane. This is exactly why liberals claim to be opposed to profiling.
Well, yes, Michael, that's an excellent point, and I'd like to touch on that. Now, look, like I've said before, I have no problem with authorities considering racial factors when constructing a profile. I've defended that practice. Look, I'd be the first to say, let me tell you, that if a black church is burned and swastikas are found, I'd be far more likely to look for suspects among the local white population. But, and this is important, that would be a proper application of profiling because we'd be using it simply to narrow down a list of possible suspects. What's happening here is a lot different. we're not using racial characteristics to identify the most likely suspects here. We're using them to determine guilt. In other words, Michael, it's one thing to just operate with the understanding that certain motivations are more likely to be found among certain racial groups, like Nazi sentiments among whites. Here, though, we're assuming that because an individual is of a certain racial group, he must have a certain motivation. Michael, this isn't just generalizing, which, as you know, I've defended recently on your show. It's a perversion of the practice. I say this because there's a basic truth that pertains to valid generalization, and here it is. While there are differences within groups, there are also differences among them. Now, usually political correctness causes us to deny the second part of that truth, since nowadays we tend to paint every group with the same brush. But what we have here is a case where political correctness actually causes us to paint every member of a group with the same brush. And let's make no mistake, Michael, that's exactly what's happening here. What happens when it's a Mr. White noose hanger and the question is whether he should be punished for hateful thoughts? Well, let's face it, he's guilty until proven innocent. And let me tell you, that proof always seems to be as elusive as Moby Dick. I mean, we just assume that he must be a bigot.
Well, that's just how white people are. Didn't you know that?
Well, absolutely. You're right, Michael. That is the attitude, 100%. Now, let's think about this. We might as well just say that a black defendant charged with crack dealing must be guilty because he's black, or a Muslim charged with terrorism must be guilty because he's a Muslim, or a man charged with rape must be guilty because he's a man. Of course, we do that already to some degree, to be honest. But listen, it's one thing to look more closely at blacks or Muslims if you're searching for, respectively, crack dealers or terrorists. And if you're searching for rapists, you only look at men. But once a suspect is apprehended, it's a different matter, Michael. If we charge or convict someone based on a stereotype, we're operating on nothing but prejudice. Again, profiling exists for the purposes of identifying suspects, not for the purposes of prosecuting them. So look, I've said this so many times, but this is the problem with hate crime laws. What they do is, Michael, is they make prosecution more subjective. Also, they make the prejudices of the day the determinants of guilt and punishment. And then, look, it's like this. Well, was hatred in the defendant's heart, Counselor? Is a hoax tolerable here, Your Honor? Well, I don't know. Tell me the man's skin color, and I'll tell you. Michael, look, we have to ask ourselves this question. Should a criminal proceeding take place in a courtroom or a sideshow? Because if it's the former, mind reading has no place. And I think, quite frankly, it should be chilling to each and every one of us that the government is now the arbiter of not only the acceptability of thoughts, but of their very existence. But look, thank God there is a simple solution. We should punish proven actions, not divined motivations. If I wanted pretenders to clairvoyance, Michael, I wouldn't have to pay taxes. Listen, I just call the psychic hotline. And that's all I have to say about that. Michael, thank you for having me on the show, and God bless you and your audience.
Yeah, may God bless you too, Selwyn Duke. We sure need it.
For all of my listeners who have taken my advice using
eSex,
what are the rest of you waiting for?
As you all know, I'm under attack by the CARE organization. I've been personally targeted by them. And it's not only my freedom of speech at stake. All of you need to know that standing with me is the only way to assure that I will be here when they come for you. Robert Spencer is on the line with us. He's an expert on CAIR with JihadWatch.com. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Spencer.
Michael, I appreciate you very much having me on today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Robert, what can you tell us about the background of the Council on American-Islamic Relations? Who started CARE?
CARE was founded out of the Islamic Organization of Palestine by two employees of the IAP, that is Nihad Awad and Omar Ahmed. The Islamic Association for Palestine is no longer in existence, but it was a Hamas front group, and the co-founder of CARE, Nihad Awad, is on record saying in 1994, I'm a supporter of Hamas. He denied the association later when he was involved with the Keith Ellison campaign and was giving contributions to Keith Ellison's congressional campaign in Minnesota last year. But that was the first time he had explicitly disavowed Hamas.
But what are they all about? What do they claim to support, defend, oppose? And what, in your view, are their real motivations? Are they really a civil rights group?
CARE says that it's a civil rights organization defending the civil liberties of Muslims in America after the pattern of the NAACP and other civil rights groups in American history. The difference here is that there is a pattern of statements and actions by CARE officials that indicate that it is something quite other than what it portrays itself to be. In the first place, there are Islamic supremacist statements having been made by CARE officials. Omar Ahmed said in 1998 to a Muslim audience in California, Islam is not in the United States to coexist with other religions. Islam is in the United States to become dominant and the Quran the only law of the land. And he now denies saying this, but here again, he didn't deny saying it until several years later when he began to be challenged upon it. And the original reporter stands by her story. The spokesman for the organization, Ibrahim Hooper, has said on several occasions that he'd like to see an Islamic government in the United States sometime in the future, although he plans to go about that through peaceful means. And that's exactly what they're doing, going about that through peaceful means. There have been, however, five CARE officials who have been arrested and convicted on various terrorism-related charges. And these include CARE's former communications director, another individual, Randall Royer, who was involved with the Virginia Jihad Network that was training in, to go over to Central Asia to fight against Americans there in, alongside Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. CARE always says, when this is brought up, that these guys were not CARE employees when they were doing their illegal activities and their terrorist activities. But then one wonders, okay, maybe they weren't. That's fine. But then how is it that if CARE is such a moderate group as it claims to be, how did they hire these people? Didn't they ask them about their views about this that is so important for Islam today, about this incredible split, this huge issue of violence committed in the name of Islam? It never seems to come up in the interviewing process. It strains credulity. There is also a troubling history of CARE officials, some of whom I've challenged personally on this, refusing to condemn Hamas and Hezbollah as terrorist groups.
This guy, Ibrahim Hooper, the spokesperson, what's his background? Where did he come from?
Ibrahim Hooper is an American convert to Islam who has the distinction of being a white, blonde, blue-eyed American, and I think that's one of the reasons why he is front and center to try to promote the idea that Islam is a religion after the manner of Judaism and Christianity, although, of course, you don't even find Jews and Christians making the kind of Islamic supremacist statements that Hooper himself has made. Hooper is a venomous character. He's not hesitated to lie. He's told lies about me personally on CNN's Paul Azan show. And he has never shown any interest in CARE's ostensible mission of bridge building. Instead, he engages in the most vicious personal attacks and smears against anti-jihad spokesmen, people who are trying to call attention to jihadist activity.
Where does CARE get its funding from?
CARE publicly acknowledged that it had gotten a considerable sum in the millions. Oh, I believe actually it might have been $500,000 if it wasn't supplemented later. But in any case, a considerable sum from a Saudi donor for their library campaign of placing Islamic propaganda books into American libraries. And that is a troubling thing to start with because, of course, money coming from the Saudis usually is accompanied by a desire upon the part of the Saudis to spread their ideology, which is a virulent and violent form of Islam, and certainly a supremacist form of Islam. And so CARE getting any money from any Saudi sources is troubling enough, but we don't know more than we know about where CARE is getting its money, and that also is troubling.
Now, what is your personal involvement with the organization been?
I approached CARE, actually, on several occasions several years ago. I called Hooper in early 2003, intending to give him a chance to set the record straight. and to reply to some of these charges that have been made about his organization. But when he heard who it was who was calling, he said, I'm not going to support your Islamophobic agenda, and he hung up on me. And as I said before, he has retailed lies about me on national television, and he has always maintained a virulently hostile posture, even though I was quite sincere in approaching him and wanting to give him a chance to give his side of the story and CARE's side of the story about their troubling associations with terrorists. And this is, unfortunately, a consistent pattern. I mean, they were named an unindicted co-conspirator in the Hamas terror funding case involved in the regarding the Holy Land Foundation in Texas. And they, instead of coming clean, instead of cooperating, they have instead tried to approach various officials to get the status removed, but solely on political grounds, without offering any solid evidence that they're not involved in this kind of activity.
Why do you think it is that CARE has chosen now to attack me?
I think they've chosen to attack you at this point because you're out there, you're a lightning rod, you're high profile. And, of course, the emotional tone of the statements gives them a kind of ammunition or makes them think that they can take you down because they can more readily portray what you're saying as being purely motivated by hatred rather than by an informed understanding of what is being done. And they're trying to flex their muscles again, as they have so many times, as they kowtowed, they cowed, rather, the Fox News Network, National Review Magazine, and others into doing their bidding. They think that they can do that also with you and that they will score a major victory in that sense. And so I think that anybody who is involved with trying to resist jihad encroachment against the United States and the West in general, and anybody who believes in freedom of speech and free inquiry, has to also believe in the freedom to offend. Because, after all, that's the reason why we have the First Amendment, is to protect offensive speech. Inoffensive speech doesn't need any protection. But if you're going to have a free and open debate and a freewheeling discussion, then it's going to be offensive to certain parties. And if we're not going to have a protected class in the United States, and if Muslims aren't going to become a protected class above criticism in the United States, then they have to be capable of taking offense also. And that's why I think everybody needs to stand with you in this suit.
Robert Spencer, it's been great talking with you. Thanks, and come back anytime to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's always an honor to speak to you, and keep up the fight. Thank you very much.
Savage.
Again, here I am. We've talked about so many topics today and this week, I can't even summarize them. The phone number, though, if you want to get in the last shot at America, is 1-800-449-8255. We have a caller from Chicago who's very interesting, I think. Phil, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I just was listening to your radio program last night, Dr. Savage, and you brought up a topic that was very dear to my heart about the fireman that was beaten up in Boston and stabbed. That was our son.
Yes, he was a white fireman. He was. He went for a taco at 2:30 in the morning, and a group of Hispanics said, "We don't want any gringos around here," and they beat him up and stabbed him. What? And you're in Chicago, Phil. What's the relationship?
He's my son.
Oh my God.
And you're the only, the only radio station, television station, had even made a mention of anything.
You're kidding.
The same thing with that poor girl who was beaten up on the bus. No one else has even written about it or anything, and we want to thank you for bringing it out so that people can see what's happening.
Phil, it's unbelievable to me the kind of world we live in. If we don't fight back, we're finished. We'll be driven out of our own country.
Absolutely right, and that's why we support you 100%. We support you with your legal lawsuit against CARE. We've sent you money, and God bless you. I hope that you win.
And what about your son? Tell me about him. How badly injured was he?
He was stabbed twice. Both stab wounds were about 4 inches deep.
Oh, my God.
One was.
Now, why did these gangbangers do this to him? What, just because he was white and they were Hispanic?
All it had to be, because it's not too far from where he's a fireman, about a block away. And he had just gotten off of work from another job. He works a second job. And he went there, and they go there all the time. There has never been a problem. Although on Friday and Saturday night, when this happened, actually it was Sunday morning, what happened is that they have a policeman that goes there and patrols the area because they do have trouble at this particular restaurant on those two nights. Well, for some reason, that patrolman had called in sick, and they didn't have backup. So he had went there about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, got in line to get some food, and that's when they made the comment, "We don't serve gringos here." And he says, "I'm not a gringo."
And they said, "We don't serve gringos here?" They said that to him?
Right, that's what they told him, and they pushed him. And he knew right then and there, he knew it was trouble. He just left the place, got in his car, and drove to the fire station, which is about a block away from where this restaurant is. Well, they had chased him. They ran after him. By the time he got out of his car, he just got to the door to ring the doorbell, and thank God there was somebody on night duty, because there always has to be someone on night duty to answer calls. They had stabbed him twice. They beat him so bad that he's got a black eye. He's off of work for a number of weeks now.
Did they catch the vermin who did this?
They haven't caught him yet. But I guarantee you, Dr. Savage, that they will catch him, because the fire department and police department will stick together and they'll catch these people. And,
well, then they'll claim that, of course, they were poor, misunderstood illegal immigrants who weren't given the proper chance in America. And because they were downtrodden and lived and came to a racist country, they were just defending themselves, Phil.
With you 100%. That's what's going to happen. And that's the sad thing about this country, that no politician, I don't care who they are, gives a damn about this country anymore. They'd sell it out to anybody, including the Al-Qaeda. I honestly believe that.
God, I hope you're wrong. I mean, some nights I feel as bad as you do, but I know why you're feeling this way. It's your son. It doesn't get any more personal than this. To have a vicious gang of Hispanics attack a young man like this, especially a firefighter who just got off duty. And frankly, the newspapers, you know who they're run by. Do I have to spell it out, Phil?
They had an article in our local newspaper here that there's for every white girl they're doing research on and searching and all that there for her disappearance, there's five black girls that they don't even bother with.
I see. So in other words, therefore, we shouldn't pay any attention to the missing white girls. And so for every white man who's attacked by a Hispanic gang, we should ignore it because poor Hispanics are so downtrodden. Is that the implication by the maniacs who write for these stupid newspapers? Phil, is there anything we can do? Does your son need any money, or is he okay?
Oh, he's fine, and thank God that the stab wounds just required a number of stitches. But
4 inches deep? Let me tell you something. He's going to feel that pain for the rest of his life. Never mind the emotional trauma. I guarantee you the liberals didn't talk about giving his son any closure or any counseling, huh? They're probably looking for the perpetrators to see if they can serve them a sandwich and ask them how they're feeling in our country. Thanks for the call. I don't have any other words to say. Okay, I'll pause right now. North Carolina, Terry, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm in North Carolina. I just want to talk about your population around here. I started listening about a month ago, and we got a lot of young kids, you know, like around 18 years old, you know, and I got a son that's 18 years old, and, you know, I thought your viewpoints are a lot like mine, and, you know, about the immigration.
Right, even though I'm originally from New York City and my accent may be different than yours, I can guarantee you see the world the same way I do, Terry.
You started out in New York and ended up in California. So,
yep.
You know, around here, you know, a lot of stuff you've been saying on the radio, you know, it's like I felt that for a lot of years, you know, and I said, well, man, here's somebody that, you know, feels like I do. I said, you know, I felt like I was all alone. And
well, you're not alone. You're a member of the Savage Nation, which is 10 million strong at the very least, Terry, and thanks for listening and spreading the word. KNEW in my hometown of San Francisco. Don, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. This is dealing with your Mr. Bernie Ward. I remember
let me explain what this is. This is a local, vociferously far-left, radical anti-police, anti-fireman, anti-military, anti-church talk show host who has been indicted just yesterday or the day before on kiddie porn charges. What do you have to offer on that case, Don?
I remember within the last 7 to 10 years, I remember I was driving, and he had a program on his, you know, station, which I'm not going to mention, but he it had to do with a place where he was going to Berkeley, and it was a place where you could go in, and people were having sex. You could view other people, and he was walking around with the host, and he was like the dominatrix, the whole thing. And I remember I'm going, man, this is really weird. And I said, and this guy's getting off on this, you know? And he was
No, Don, he was probably writing a book about S&M clubs.
Yeah, it was pretty...
He wasn't doing it for titillation. He was probably writing a book on the... After all, he's a journalist, Don.
Research.
It's very much like that witch from MSNBC who they fired, who is now on Court TV, who they should fire again, in my opinion. I forget her name. I wish I could remember her name. Every time I see her, I want to break the television set. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? Beowulf, you know who I mean. Ashley Banfield, old Ashley Banfield, was banished for several years, but she's been reinvented, you see. And old Ashley was out hunting Jews with the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade several years ago, and she was in the night. She was on a night mission to kill as many innocent Jews as she could watch. I wouldn't say she actually pulled the trigger, but she was there all excited, Ashley Banfield, with the wide-eyed look of a cheerleader in a locker room. And here she was with real Palestinian Jew killers. Can you imagine anything more exciting, Ashley? Why, this is better than child porn. So there was old Ashley Banfield with the cameras running, hunting Jews, as I say, with the Palestinian murderers, when overhead there came an Israeli helicopter with a searchlight. And the light went down searching for the killers. Now, she was just a reporter, you understand, for MSNBC at the time. And they screamed at her, the Palestinians, Israelis, Israelis, turn off your camera. Israelis, turn off your camera. And Ashley's face went into the face, as I say, of a cheerleader caught in the Klieg lights in a male locker room. And the camera went off. And I reported on it just like this. And soon thereafter, they fired her from MSNBC. But now she's had a new lease on life, and she's on Court TV, still doing her old reportage. Yeah, I understand how it works in the media, but I'm never going to stop telling you like I see it. Never. I will never stop telling you like I see it. Spokane, Washington. Danny, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, just want to talk to you about the old days from 94 in San Francisco. And obviously, we're winning, they're not. But I remember when you had us all turn our headlights on in broad daylight for everybody who was listening to you.
Yeah, let's do it right now. I have a minute and a half left on the show, and in the West Coast it's dark. On the East Coast it's even darker. If you're listening to the Savage Nation, wherever you are, when I say three, would you please flash your headlights, turn your lights on and off three times. I'm going to go one, two, three. Flash your lights for the truth. Flash your lights for America. Flash your lights for the truth. Flash your lights for America. Somewhere in America, there's someone listening to the Savage Nation in all 50 states. We may not be the most popular group in America, but we certainly aren't the most unpopular either. And if you're listening to this program and you just flashed your lights and you didn't see anyone else flashing it, well, it's too bad. Because you're not alone. Somewhere in America, millions of people flash their lights. Maybe not on your road or on your street. But I can guarantee you, many, many, many hundreds of thousands of people just did. Because in any 15 minutes on this show, there are approximately 850,000 people listening to the program in any 15-minute period. With God's will and your listenership over the weekend, you will go on to michaelsavage.com. You will check out all the stories I missed. All the stories that you heard. You will check out the lawsuit where I'm fighting for my right to speak the truth, and you'll do the right thing. God bless America.
Savage.